Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
The national anthem presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com to order your catering. CarolinaBarbecueSauce.com as well. It's a beaut. She's a beaut, Clark. Well done, Mad Dog. Well done.
Speaking of Augusta there in the background. Yeah, man.
There are not many more beautiful than this one here. Meredith Taylor joining us in between lessons, I would imagine. She's giving lessons in the dark,
and she's waking up. I've missed you guys.
Yeah. Well, you're busy. You've built an incredible company. You're making golfers better all over the world, and maybe not world yet. Well, you know,
all right.
I don't know. Well,
this one virtual platform could really, you know, I mean,
that's right.
It expands your reach incredibly.
I found it interesting. Like on her website, you can choose the language. You know, Japanese, Korean. I'm like, man, Meredith, she's getting them all hopping. Man, it's so good to see you. And
great to see you guys.
We are so happy for you and so proud of the business you've built and thankful that people use you.
I appreciate y'all's support.
Well,
happy.
You know, Meredith, come on. So what do you think? Max Homa, Bryson DeChambeau, they're both at the top of the leaderboard at 7-under. Bryson just getting his round underway. Scottie Scheffler is set to tee off at 148 today. He's at 6-under. John Rahm. So, all right, I don't know if you've been listening. I played the Ocean Course last week for the first time.
Talk to me. How was it?
Okay. Well, I mean, it's the Ocean Course.
I mean, it's the Ocean Course. It's a beast of a golf course. I want to know. Was the wind 20 mile an hour?
On the back nine.
Yeah. On
the back nine going that way.
Okay.
Going south. The wind was out of the south, and then it turned around.
There we go. Got into the teeth of the wind.
Yeah, so you had about four or five holes where it was roaring, and then you come back. So my caddy has caddied Augusta, and this is the first year in 14 years he hasn't worked the Masters, hasn't been there for it. And he told me, he said, betting tip, John Rahm will miss the cut.
Yeah, they don't have a good track record. If you win the green jacket the next year, there's some crazy stat where it's like they barely make the cut or they just don't perform well. So he's right.
Except for Tiger, of course.
That's true.
Tiger ain't missed the cut, and he's – right now, he's just birdied, so he's getting in better shape, too, to not miss it for the 24th straight year.
Right. It's a cut two over still?
Yeah, sitting at two over.
Somewhere around there.
What do you think about that? You see the wind blowing out there. What do you think? You think it stays or it slips?
Listen, I think it could get pretty gnarly this afternoon. The winds are going to be ridiculous. I haven't looked at the forecast recently, but if it's 20 mile an hour winds, good luck.
Yeah. Because
people just don't understand, like, playing Augusta National when it's calm is difficult. And then you add the swirling winds and you get down to the bottom of Amen Corner, 11, 12, 13. The winds are like, you'll see. I was there for 20 years straight. So one of my favorite things to see was you're at Amen Corner. Okay. And 11's on your left. 12 is in front of you. 13's on your right. And you could see 11's flag going left, 12's flag going right. And it's literally in both. Like, that's how crazy it can get down in that bowl at the bottom of that property. And so that's why on 12, you see guys looking at the trees like so confused. They're like, I'm not sure if it's going to take the wind or if it's not. And that's when it gets it's very entertaining, but I wouldn't love to play in it at the, when it's swirling like this, but it's going to make for good TV.
Yeah, it's you're right about that. That brings in an interesting, I think, probably the question of the day here, because Homa is through six. He's having a heck of a round.
Yeah, love his golf swing.
Probably playing the best golf of his career.
Agreed.
In this
turn. He looks really poised as well.
Generally doesn't play well in the majors either, but he certainly is this week. So Bryson's just teeing off. Scheffler doesn't tee off till almost 2 o'clock, Meredith.
Right, right.
With the afternoon winds, do you think that 7-under continues to grow, or do you think all these guys maybe slip a shot or two?
It'll probably come back to the field, but Scottie Scheffler, like, I don't think people understand. If I'll try to put it in perspective, this year, so we'll just say the last 30 days, okay? So people who haven't been watching golf this year, he's had a bogey-free 66 at Bay Hill. He's had a bogey-free 64 at TPC Sawgrass, which I've played, and it's a beast of a golf course. So four. And then yesterday, he shoots this bogey-free 66 at Augusta. That's just the last 30 days.
Yeah.
I mean, he's the number one player in the world for a reason. He's the best ball striker on the planet. And obviously, he was my pick going into this week, because why not?
Right.
Until you show me something otherwise, this is my pick. And then he goes out. When you watch him play, it's just this ho-hum, very, you know, very relaxed 66. And that just boggles my mind. To watch him casually go through a day like that with the winds the way they are, it's very impressive. I would not put it past him to get another green jacket. It was funny. I saw on Twitter, somebody said the only person that can stop Scottie Scheffler is his wife, who's currently pregnant and they're awaiting their baby.
Oh, yeah.
Who's due at the end of the month. And they're like, the only thing that can stop Scottie Scheffler is if his wife goes into labor.
Oh, what a story that would be, right? You know? Stop the tournament, let him get there. And then
he's like, listen, I'm gonna withdraw. Like, if she goes into labor, I'm gonna withdraw. And so everybody's like, hang in there until he can get to the end of the tournament.
She might get mad if he's on top of the leaderboard. I mean, you know, he might show up to the hospital and she'd be upset.
Might be the perfect time.
Just wait till he can bring you a green jacket.
Yeah, if and I don't think it will with you, but if it all falls apart for Scotty, now would be a good time to go into labor, sweetheart. Yeah, let me get out of here before I miss the cut, don't think that's going to happen. Of course, he won it in 22. He shot 10 under. Tiger's second shot, by the way, here on the he is on the seventh. Just went into the green front bunker, I believe. All right, let's get to Tiger. So what are you seeing?
Swing looks fantastic. I mean, I think you've probably talked about this already, but Tiger at Augusta, you don't bet against him in terms of making the cut. I don't know that he's going to win, but if he looks like he's in form in terms of the golf, he can hit all the shots.
Yeah.
The X factor, the question mark, is always his health. Mm-hmm. Because if you've never been to Augusta, you don't understand it's probably the toughest walk on tour in terms of undulation. There's not a flat lie unless you're on a tee box. Everything else is completely rolling hills, you know, from the top so when the clubhouse number 10 is the high point, and then you go down 10, 11, 12, it just goes 100 feet drop off. I mean, that's how steep it is. You can't tell that on television. So, the one thing that people ask about, like, what's something that I should be on the lookout for if I'm going to my first Masters? I'm like, you're going to see the elevation changes that you can't see on television. You just can't. And then you get there and you're like, oh my goodness, this is kind of wild how everything is just rolling hills. And so anyway, it's a tough walk for Tiger. That's the only thing that I see could potentially hold him back. You just don't know how his ankle's going to be, how his knee's going to be. He's got bad back. And so those are kind of the things, like if he can hold up physically for 4 days at Augusta, of course, he's got a chance because his golf game looks fantastic and he knows where to place the ball. If he can execute, which it looks like he is, it's going to be fun to watch. And I think it's fun for the patrons to see him in form down at Augusta. It's just really, really great for the game.
Yeah, well, I felt like it was concerning when the weather moved through yesterday morning, knowing that right. He was an afternoon tea time.
Yes.
Because you knew he wasn't going to finish it.
Right.
And the way he was playing at 1 under, had he finished the round, I thought maybe he had a chance to go out and grab another shot. So maybe sitting at 2 under coming into today's round.
Right.
But then on top of that, he had to play 20. He's got to play 23 holes today.
That's right.
With break, like, what do you think he was doing during the break? Do you think he was like, let me sit down for a minute, or was it probably better to just keep moving?
Well, keep moving.
Yeah.
Cause the worst thing that could happen is you get stiff and you have to re-warm up in a sense. So I'm sure he, kind of like it's similar to, Steph Curry's talked about. It's once you get the body warmed up, you don't want to get cold and have to re-warm up. Like the older you get, the more you, like, once you start getting that warm up, you want to stay at that level. And then when you, so that break, I'm sure he was getting his treatments, getting as much as he could to stay fueled and all the things that we have to do to turn back out and go put a good round together.
Meredith Taylor joining us. It's 12:15 here on Inside the Gamecocks, the show. All right. The big names in golf, some are, at the top, some are hanging in there, and some it just has not worked out for. Dustin Johnson, 2 over in his second round. DJ is 8 over. He is without a doubt going to miss the cut if this continues.
Right.
Ricky's 4 over, so he's got a chance. He's just going to have to play well today. Jordan Spieth had a disaster
15.
And that's the second time that's happened in his career on that same hole.
Yeah. Brutal.
What is it?
I don't know. It's gotta be mental.
It's gotta be.
Cause he's too good to have what was it on that hole that he had? Like
nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous. I didn't see it. So it's mind boggling. I mean, he must have spun it off the green back in the water, or
he did. Yeah. Well, yeah, they all missed it. Every one of them rolled off. They all hit the. I'm assuming it was a wind thing. They all got the same read. They all hit the same spot, and they all rolled off the green.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah,
I love that hole.
Yeah, and I'm a Jordan Spieth guy.
Yes,
I love Jordan,
me too. Love Jordan.
He was really struggling elsewhere, though. Who is maybe hanging around or just above the cut line somewhere in that 1 under?
I mean, Rory's even, 1 under, isn't he?
Rory's 1 under. JT is, I think he's still even par, and he'll tee off at 124. Okay. So he's an hour away. Like those guys are kind of hanging there. What do you think about their shot at winning this thing? Because that's a pretty good spot to be in, really.
A great spot to be in. Unlike Liv, we play 72 holes. So there's a lot of golf left. And so, like guys like Rory and Will Zalatoris at that 1 under, 2 under mark, they're absolutely in this thing, especially with the wind. The way that it is, normally you'd think, man, that's a lot of shots to make up. But if they come back to the field and you go have a day, you're right in the thick of it going into the weekend. So yeah, that's completely plausible to look at like a Will Zalatoris or a Rory McIlroy. I mean, you remember the year Scotty won it, I think Rory shot low 60s the final round. So it's not like he's had some great rounds at Augusta. I thought it was important for him to be under par in that first round because typically his Masters appearances, he just gets off to a really bad start and you can't win it on Thursday, but you can lose it on Thursday, if you know what I mean. Like you've got to at least have some sort of an even one under round to get it going. And then you can, you know, start making some birdies that second day and be in the mix. So I think he didn't play his way out of it yesterday, which I thought that was super important for Rory. Be one under par, even, and stay in the mix.
Bryson DeChambeau is at 7 under. He's just teed off, and he's parred number one here in round two. He had an unbelievable round yesterday.
He did.
With the conditions and what they are, beautiful but windy.
Yeah.
How does that help his game? How does it hurt it?
The only thing I worry about with him is he's going to take too many chances, and it can bite you at Augusta. I saw him hit. There was some sort of highlight of him going for it in 2 on 15 from the pine straw, and it worked out for him. But you do that 3 days in a row, Augusta's going to bite you, and especially if the winds are up. I don't know that you can do that 4 days in a row without getting in trouble, you know. So it's just going to be interesting to see. He put together an incredible round yesterday, but we'll see if he can do it for 72.
One other name that I had on my scorecard to ask you about today is Cam Young.
Yes.
Cam Young's playing pretty good golf.
He is.
He's 2 under today. He birdied the second, the third, the sixth. He just bogeyed the seventh, but he's right there. He's at 4 under, and it almost feels like if he can find a way to play even par in, he's going to probably be within a shot or two of the lead. I just don't think
right,
he's going to get.
I don't either.
I mean, Cam Young's his name of all these we've talked about. His is going to be forgotten of all those guys we just mentioned, but then he'll be the guy who's kind of hanging around.
That's right. Yeah.
What do you think about
Cam?
He
quietly goes about his business. Yeah. Not a flashy player. He has that really smooth swing, but he hits it a mile. Really, really solid player. So I don't disagree with you on that. Nobody in the last like 20 years has won the Masters from outside like the top 10, I believe, after the first round. I mean, if that stat holds, he would be in there in that conversation. So like Bryson, Scotty, Max Homa, Cam Young, Will Zalatoris, those guys put themselves in really good position going into the weekend.
Meredith Taylor, it's 12:20. How many lessons do you have today? Just out of curiosity.
I took today off.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Oh, I told everybody, I was like, listen, it's the Masters. And you know my story, JB, but you know, the Masters is not just a tournament for our family. It's very quickly, like my grandfather bought badges back in like the early 60s, right? Mm-hmm. And back then it was like Jack and Arnie and Gary, and you could readily get badges back then. Like it's not the tournament. It wasn't the tournament that it is today. Like it's a global event today and you can't get a badge unless you know somebody. Right. Wow. And I never got to meet my grandfather, but you know, that purchase that he made really changed the trajectory for me. I attended the Masters when I was 13. That inspired me to pick up a club. I go to Country Club of Lexington. The coach, Lexington High School coach, sees me, puts me on the team, and then I, you know, eventually get pretty good at it. walk on to South Carolina, which is my dream school, et cetera, et cetera. So it's kind of like my golf origin story. And so anyway, it's a special tournament for me. I know my grandfather would be proud to kind of see that something he purchased back in the 60s kind of led to all these accomplishments. And so really, really blessed. And I love this tournament so much for so many reasons, but that's a big one.
Well, obviously with the patrons being there from all over the country, all over the globe, there's every nook and cranny that's represented. But the Masters has always had a pretty unique connection to the University of South Carolina, too.
Right. You know,
and I've always appreciated that, how our university's treated over there.
Absolutely. Well, and, you know, it was very, I mean, I'm a faith-based person, so it was kind of God-ordained. Like, I'm at the University of South Carolina when the chairman at the time was Hootie Johnson, who was a former Gamecock.
Right.
So we get invited as a team to go play Augusta National when I'm there. And then 2 years later, he's not the chairman anymore. And so, you know, it's just like this, you know, that was super, super special. But yeah, the Gamecocks have been able to play there many times. So I was blessed to be one of those teams that got invited.
South Carolina is the school of Hooties. There's no doubt about that.
That is a true statement.
We're Hootie University in Columbia. Anything else from a course? The course, look, Tiger on Wednesday talked to Marty and said they've got it right where they want it. And he was talking about the course.
Oh yes.
He said they've got it right where they want it. What does that mean?
It's going to be fast, firm, quick greens. That's exactly the way they want it. You know, some years it's been soft because of like rain has really led up to the tournament, but we've had some pretty good weather. And what they want is for it to play a certain way. And what he means by that is that firm greens, fast, tough conditions. And so that's what he means when he says they've got it right where they want it in terms of playing conditions. Cause you know, you can't just fire at a pin and it just sit. Like when it's soft and it's had a lot of rain, you can just fly right at the pin and it sticks. You can't do that when it's playing the way that they want it to play, which is you got to be strategic. You have to play the rollout. It's going to spin off the green into the water. You know, all those things that they expect the playing conditions to be, it's exactly the way they want it. And it's drying out perfectly. Yeah. It looks so good. I mean, I've been watching for, you know, I went for 20 years in a row, and this is probably the best it's looked.
Oh, it's phenomenal. And the wind is only going to continue to dry it out, too.
Correct. So it's going to make for a really fun back nine on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. And these afternoon guys today, this is going to be a challenge.
It's going to be brutal. Yeah, which is exactly what you want. I mean, you want major championship golf to be this way.
What do you think the, I mean, it's hard to predict these things, but just based on what we've seen through the first round and a half, basically, what do you think the score will be Sunday or whereabouts?
Oh, goodness. I have no idea because, you know, Scottie Scheffler can post a number that just it boggles my mind. So it's very hard for me to predict that. Especially because you don't know what the winds are going to be Saturday, Sunday, but I just know the way that he is playing, I wouldn't put it past him to put together all four rounds in the 60s.
Maybe he ends up around 12 under. He won it at 10 under a couple of years ago. You got Scheffler winning it, right?
Absolutely. He was my pick going into the week for all the reasons I've already said. I mean, he's the number one player in the world, and he's playing like it. He looks phenomenal.
Does Tiger make the cut?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think he does. It's gonna be neat to see him play in the weekend at Augusta, and the patrons there are so respectful for, you know, when you attend the Masters, the patrons are super knowledgeable and respectful for past champions. Standing ovations all the way through. So it'll be neat to see that.
He's on it now. He lipped out a par putt on the 7th and bogeyed, so he's back to 2 over.
Okay.
And he's on the 8th, so he's 9 shots off the lead. Top 50 in ties will make the cut.
That's right.
But that cut line's going to I it's not going to be at 2 over. I don't think so.
It's going to be a tough afternoon, but
yeah.
We'll see.
We'll see. I'm with you. Meredith, any final thoughts, any words of wisdom, any predictions for Gamecock baseball? What do you think about JC's haircut, Mad Dog's mustache?
I love that he's got a caption that says better mood.
Yeah, I guess yesterday he was, you know, he stubbed his toe or something like that. I'm not too sure.
Yeah, a couple days this week, I just wasn't in a great mood. I have a better mood today. So yeah, it's Friday.
Good.
So
happy good. Friday.
Friday, yeah. Yes. Did you catch our interview with Stephen Panis?
Right. I caught the tail end of it, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Go back and listen to that.
I'm telling you.
Crazy.
I was a walk-on, yeah.
Yep, yeah, I know how it feels.
You know, absolutely. Yeah. And so all of the videos on social media, any team, it doesn't matter what team, when they post the video of a walk-on getting a scholarship, I bawl my eyes out, you know?
Yep.
It doesn't matter who it is. It's just super emotional for me because that was my story too.
It's incredible what they've turned that tragedy into to help others.
Yes,
and,
yes.
And how Coach Beamer and the university have embraced that as well. It's a remarkable story. Really, it is. Can't wait to get my book this week. Meredith, McKellarEnterprises.org for those who would like to participate in the McKellar Online Academy. If you suck at golf, you're probably always going to suck at golf, but at least she'll make it bearable for the folks that play with you.
What a commercial.
So, you know? Yeah. Look, man, I suck, but I just got to find a way to get through 18 holes. Get me through 18, which I'll have to text you about. I don't want to talk about it on the air, but I'll have to text you about the ocean course. And
I really wanted you to talk about it on air.
No, I don't.
No?
I'm not comfortable with it, but it was around.
Fair enough. Okay.
It was around. I was like, I looked back and asked my score, and he told me, and I said, that can't be right. He said, it is. Okay.
Oh, boy.
And then I started getting the shakes. I thought, oh, God, it's got to fall apart, man. It's got to fall apart. I'll text you here in a little bit. Thanks for all your time. Really appreciate it. Thanks for everything.
Absolutely.
You did.
Thanks for having me. Happy Masters Week.
Yeah. We love it. Keep on keeping on. Keep making sucky golfers better.
Yeah, you got it. That's what I'm here for. I got your back.
Awesome.
Hold on. Enjoy the Masters. See you, Mayor.
Absolutely. You guys have a good one.
Thanks, Mayor.
Meredith Taylor, the secret assassin in any golf tournament. And invite her to play and you'll win. I promise. Unless Pat DeMarco is playing against you, which... we invited Pat to play with us next week, so he can't beat me. If you can't beat him, Phil.
My wife said
for a golf tournament. You ought to have. Yeah, you had like Mayor and DeMarco on there. You'd be unstoppable.
Meredith can't play. She's got work. Because I was like, dude, if I get smoke and Meredith and Pat, I won't hit one golf shot. I'm going to sit in the cart the entire time.
I was going to say, like, you just have to drive. Yeah. Nah,
there's no way that I would go out and do one thing on that golf course. But no, with those three cats. No way. All right. We got to hit a timeout. Electric Bikes of Charleston, electricbikescharleston.com. That's the next business plan for Michelle Wilkins. They need to supply golf courses with electric bikes that you can just tow your clubs with your push cart. You could tie the push cart to the back of an EB and just hit the button. What do you think about that? That's a great idea.
That's a great idea.
I know. EB golfing. Oh, Michelle, if you're listening, let's talk about this actually. Now that I'm thinking about
that's
it.
Right.
Hold on. Electricbikescharleston.com. You're going to be outside this weekend. You're going to realize how beautiful it is and why you want to be riding on the beach or in the mountains or in a park or something somewhere. You're going to want one. Remember I said it. ElectricBitesCharleston.com. Carolina and Florida tonight. We'll talk about that next year on ITG.
Mike here for one of the better dining options in the capital city. You know, when I first moved there, I asked people around the radio station, where are the best wings? Well, the consensus was D's Wings. That was then. Today, they still have the best wings, but it's so much more now in their new location at 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia. Yeah, they get voted the best wings on a routine basis. Yes, they get voted the best sports bar on a routine basis, but they're not just about wings, and really, they're not just a sports bar. It is a family-run local restaurant and bar with 20 TVs and 25 beers on tap. app. And how about these daily specials? Every Monday night at D's, you've got 75-cent wings from 4 until closing. Tacos on Tuesday. Then on Wednesday, 18 wings and a pitcher of beer for $29. You've also got ribs and oyster bucket specials on Thursday. And no matter how big the party is, 20 or more, no problem. Just call ahead of time and they'll take terrific care of you. They'll do takeout as well. And guess what? A human will answer the phone and take the order. Billy and his staff do an outstanding job. Check out D's, 415 Meeting Street in West Columbia.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Set up a screen, and it goes to Brewer. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Brewer. His second of the day. Pitches it to Brewer. Turns to corner. Touchdown, number 3 of the afternoon.
Hey folks, it's Mike Morgan for Ryan Brewer Fence. That's right, you know the former Gamecock legend as a terrific college football player. Well, I know him as that too. I also know him as the guy that runs a great business, one of the best businesses in South Carolina. How do I know that? Well, for one, I'm actually a client of Ryan's. I had my home in Columbia done years ago, and his crew did an outstanding job, just as he does for everybody else. Whether you're in the market for a fence, railings, columns, or anything in between, their craftsmanship, their experience, and service second to none. Ryan Brewer Fence has over 15 years of experience with consultation and installation of residential and commercial fencing and railings. Rest assured, your job will be done with an unparalleled level of expertise, and it's done on time, and they do it right the first time. Again, you're not going to do any better than Ryan Brewer, Ryan Brewer Fence. The website is ryanbrewer.net. Set up an appointment today. Tell them Mike sent you.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
My company is Billy G's Carolina Barbecue. We are based in Columbia, South Carolina. And we have two lines of sauces and a spice rub. I mean, when people try our product, they know it's a gourmet product and it can go on any type of food. Not surprisingly delicious. It's expectedly delicious.
Oh man, the building is on fire.
Emergencies and accidents happen. When you're in the middle of a fire or water event, all you want is for things to return to normal as soon as possible. Resto Pros of the Midlands is with you, guiding you through the process and working with you to get your home or office back in working order. They'll answer your questions, discuss procedures, and can act as your advocate when it comes to processing your insurance claim. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Open 24/7 when you need them. Quality that is guaranteed.
The State Farm Personal Price Plan helps you create an affordable price just for you.
Contact local agent Gary Patterson for your personal price plan today.
Our coverage of the Masters is presented by MacKellar Enterprises. Improve your golf game. Visit MacKellarEnterprises.org.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just that old sweet song keeps Georgia on my mind. Georgia, Georgia, a song for you.
I just love that. The Masters is on the air. There's no doubt. We'll see if Tiger can make.
Bothered me about that bump there. What? Augusta National is 6 miles from the state of South Carolina.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Many more people stay in Columbia to go to the Masters than stay in Atlanta.
Yeah.
All you got to do is cross the river. I mean, I'm like, why does Georgia gets to claim that and Savannah and North Carolina gets to claim Charlotte? And if our state were like 5 miles wider around, then I just don't get it.
I don't want to, you know, pour water on your fire here, JC, but I really don't care.
I want to, if it's Georgia, I mean, why do they get to claim it, man? I mean, it's just, it's like, I mean, it's the Masters is a South Carolina. I mean, like pimento cheese and egg salad. I mean, that's not a Georgia. Anyway. Anthony Addison committed, by the way.
We knew that was coming. It's official. Congratulations, Gamecocks. You got a 4-star defensive end, Anthony Addison. What do you think about him, JC, before we get to baseball?
Upside guy. When you kind of look at Edge, and of course, with the transfer portal these days, it's difficult to project down the road at any position. But, you've got some older guys there, some guys like Desmond and Dylan. Kind of their first, second year that are going to play. So he's a guy that next year you can maybe redshirt and wait on a little bit. He's going to have to put on some weight. He's about 210 right now. I like his length, and I like his first step and all that. You know, Harrison mentions hope he works out better than Montague Rames. Well, he's a different guy than Rames. He's built differently, more of a leaner, longer guy. Rames is more stout, but I think it's a good pickup. I think when you're kind of in the situation Carolina's in right now where, you know, the idea you didn't have some out-of-state 4-stars lining up to commit like you did last year with Wendell Gregory and Michael Smith. So a lot of your higher-rated out-of-state targets are waiting. They're going to visit officially. I think that the idea this year, you know, while you're trying to fill out your class is to – thoroughly evaluate the state, make sure that you get the in-state guys that you like, because in previous years where Carolina maybe didn't finish in the top 25 in recruiting, you'll look through the list and you'll have 6 in-state guys and 4 of them hit, 4 starters, 2 are in the NFL, and a third one probably would have been in the NFL had he not gotten hurt or something. So there's a higher hit rate there, and I think it's smart to be right now a little bit in-state centric and, get some of the guys that are going to come to Carolina regardless to go ahead and jump in the boat. And, so now you got Jaden Sellers and you got this kid and you got DeMarcus Leach. I mean, I think that's a nice trio of in-state talent to get the ball rolling.
Yeah, I like this kid. Always love in-state kids. And as you've said, I don't know how many times, JC, 1,000. Generally, edge rushers, linemen that come out of the state of South Carolina are pretty good. They always end up working out for the Gamecocks. And what was the young man's name from Sumter a couple of years ago that went to Florida? Justice
Boone.
Boone, right? Yeah, okay. Justice Boone. So
he's been injured, and I don't know. I mean, so many people left Florida last year. Who knows? But yeah, then that was tough. That was both of us were during that transition year between Muschamp and Beamer. couldn't visit anywhere. So Muschamp and that staff didn't really have a chance to put the sell on that kid or Tyrion Ingram Dawkins, who ended up at Florida, at Georgia as well. So that, you know, you kind of look at the holes on the D line, you know, under normal circumstances, South Carolina gets both, but it just was weird and didn't do it. And look, when you're at the end of a coaching tenure, which, you know, the flaming ass hot seat, not necessarily the made up hot seat, which Muschamp was on in 2020, you're going to lose some guys from the state. Other than that, this program has proven the last 20 years, it's pretty salty when it comes to keeping the top players at home. Very few times, no matter who the coach has been, have you looked and gone, oh man, Tennessee, Florida State, Georgia came in here and got 7 of the top 10. It just does not happen anymore. You know, you can lose some to Clemson. You're going to. I mean, they're in the state too. You got to share. You got to share and play nice. But I do think this program, one of the ways it has advanced through the years is, you know, keeping that in-state talent at home in most cases.
Anthony Addison, that gives them 4 commitments in the 2025 class. Commitments. We'll get more into this next week, but real quick, and we'll let Hale give us the full rundown or as much of the rundown as he can. We're expecting a pretty darn large contingent of official and unofficial visits for the spring game, aren't we?
I don't know who can – unless it's a – when's the portal open back up?
I thought it was this coming week.
Well, I think some portal guys could take official. I don't think high school guys can just yet, or is that they changed that rule this year?
I thought they could.
I'm going to look at the – we have the official.
Wasn't Ryan Montgomery supposed to have an official during the spring game, and he switched it to an unofficial?
Yeah. I did read that. Maybe they, because now you can take as many official visits as you want.
Right. They don't cap it at 5 anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and they start. So, yeah. So, okay. David Sanders, 5-star offensive tackle, is taking an official visit to South Carolina in the spring game weekend. So you got a chance. And I think he's going to Clemson, I'll be honest. But it's kind of like KJ Henry a few years ago, where South Carolina's in the top 5, but Clemson's a clear number 1. And then, so they have a big weekend, May 31st, the last weekend of May, first weekend of June. Then another one the next. And then Friday, June 21st, looks like it's going to. So June, late May, early June, still going to be the big week. But, yeah, I guess you can. I probably would be a little hesitant to do that, to put a bunch in the spring. But if David Sanders says, this is when I'm taking my official, you just let him take his official because, right. I mean, he's one of the best players in the country. You let David Sanders decide that. So Clint asked me if I see it as an evaluation class, won't be ranked as highly. I don't know. You know, last year's the 24 class – ended up like after, you know, the teams that tend to get the benefit of the doubt in the rankings started filling up in the second period. The Gamecocks dropped from like 15th in the country to 24th. So it's not one. But when you look at this past class, 8 of the 16 high school guys they signed played in All-American games. That's never happened before. I think there were 7 or 8 4 or 5 stars as well. So it was a smaller class high school wise. And then the transfer rankings mean very little until they get those right. So I'm looking at it, and, you know, it may be ranked around where last year's class was because I do expect a larger group of high school guys this year. But it won't have as many blue chipper types, like no-brainers. Some guys are going to have to rise or whatever. But you do have a lot of guys that are on that borderline. 4 and 3 stars. And when those guys are in state, they tend to fall on the 4-star side when all is said and done. So yeah, it may be more of an evaluation type class, more of an in-state heavy type class. I think there are certain positions they're just going to have to hit the portal for again next year, including D tackle. And it's going to be that way for a while. And there's nothing wrong with it. I think we're all going to find this year that maybe the transfer portal wasn't the most positive thing impacting last season, but I think this season it will impact the program positively. So we'll see what happens, but you know, I don't know. I don't. There are a lot of really good players with high rankings coming in to visit, and you shoot your shot, and you never know. You know, you never know what's going to happen. So I wouldn't put it like that right now. But I do think that, do they have as much momentum as they did last offseason? No. You know, it's just how it is. Last season, they established a ton of momentum with big home games that were wins. Tennessee, Texas A&M, beating Clemson. Believe it or not, the national television showing at the bowl, the fact that bowl was one of the best games of the year, and the sea of garnet and black that was sitting there in Jacksonville, believe it or not, that helped get some momentum going too. So, sure. You know, those types of things actually mean more than the records and stuff like that. Atmosphere, am I going to get support, all that. And Carolina just obviously didn't have that last year, you know. So we'll see what happens. I do like that they're getting some of these in-state kids in right now to kind of get them some momentum, get them some commits. Because looking at that one, poor, lonely Jaden Sellers, I guess. Look at it. He was an awfully lonely Gamecock sitting in there because what did he commit, like in November?
Yeah.
You know, wow. He was just kind of sitting there, you know, hey, hello. You know, so good to see him get some other future Gamecocks in there in the commit list.
Tonight at 6:30, game one of the Florida-South Carolina baseball series begins. A very important stretch. The next two opponents walking into Founders Park are Arkansas and Kentucky, respectively. They each lead the league in SEC games in earned run average. So the next six ball games at the home ballpark are going to be difficult to score on. Carolina hasn't been able to put many runs on the board anyways, and they're hoping to change that fortune against a Florida Gators pitching staff that really has struggled mightily throughout the year. They'll start Brandon Neely tonight, a righty who is just 1-0 with a 5.18 earned run average. He's walked 13 and struck out, though, 34 in 24 and a third innings pitch. Brandon Neely did face the Gamecocks last season. Eli Jones will continue to get the ball on Friday nights moving forward for South Carolina. And then they went to the experience. Ty Good and Matthew Becker will round out the weekend rotation for Carolina. The fifth-year righty Good will go tomorrow. He is 4-0. With a 1.93 earned run average, 35 Ks, 11 walks in 28 innings, and he's going to get his first weekend start of the year. He's not unfamiliar with the weekends. He was the CAA Pitcher of the Year for Chad Holbrook last year at the College of Charleston. Matthew Becker has been through the wars of the SEC, and he'll get it on Sunday. A pair of lefties will face off. Becker, Jack Caglione for the Gators. Coach Lake mentioned it yesterday. Probably a better offensive prospect than he is on the mound. He throws it hard, but he has walked 25 guys in 34 in a third innings pitch this year to go along with the 44 strikeouts, kind of a feast or famine type deal. Florida is not going to start a pitcher tomorrow. I'm just kidding. They will, but it's TBA. So Ty Good doesn't know who he's going up against. So look, you know, you can kind of look at this thing from a revenge standpoint if you'd like to. By the way, I very much anticipate seeing Cole Messina in the lineup tonight, and that's a good thing. The Gators have a .286 batting average against them versus left-handers, and right-handers this year are hitting, I think it's just .251, I believe. But Cole Messina is one of your best hitters, and he's had a chance to kind of sit down in addition to the fact that he's been dealing with this concussion, of course. And so he's going to be back in the game tonight. Guys, I've got a sneaky feeling Dalton Reeves might be in the lineup. Could be wrong. Haven't reached out to ask, but I got a feeling. He's Lake hit the nail on the head yesterday. You know, he's seeing it well, and he's doing the little thing. Like, he's having at bats is what he's doing. He's having at bats. And this team needs quality at bats. So I've got a sneaky feeling you're going to see him in there tonight, but at some point in time for sure this weekend. Gavin Casas has led the team. He's hitting .361 in SEC play, so I've circled him as kind of a key contributor this weekend, Phil and JC, especially with the fact that the Gators have about a 35-point higher batting average against them from lefties, and this guy's been the best lefty in the lineup. Parker Nolan has been the second best hitter in the lineup in the SEC. Both of them hit left-handed. So, you know, those guys tonight, obviously your All-Americans need to be All-Americans. Those guys tonight, guys, they need to hit. Carolina needs to get off to a good start.
Yeah, it'd be nice to win the first game of the series and not have to, you know, scrounge to salvage on Sunday. You know, give your shot a chance, you know, give your team a chance to win a series on the road, which is going to be important moving forward. You're going to need to, you know, perform well on the road to finish out this conference slate. But yeah, no better time to get the bats hot again than against, you know, what is probably what they've got the highest ERA in conference play, don't they, down in Florida? I mean, that's
not the
giving
highest.
Up the most runs. No, but not the highest, but it's close. No.
Yeah, it's 5.33. Carolina's is 5.97. The worst is Ole Miss at 8.81, which you look back on that series and you know, but it's your first weekend. It's your first series in the league. You're on the road. I mean, this thing's happened.
But need to show some consistency at the plate, and this weekend is a good weekend to do that.
And you win that first game too. You got Florida sitting there. They just got swept at Missouri, and then came back with a listless performance against their rival for the second time. Florida State beats the poo out of them. You go in, they win the first game. They're like, "We're back, baby!" You know. Yeah. And then they smell blood, and then you're kind of on your heels because your two-game winning streak is gone. But you win that first one, the pressure suddenly shifts to the Gators. Right. You know, I think tonight going in, the pressure is on Florida. But I think the Gamecocks go in there and screw around and make mistakes and end up giving them life when they shouldn't have life, like's happened in some losses this year. They're going to snatch that momentum pretty quick. So I think today is important. I think today is important for how the outcome of the series happens.
This series, for those who don't pay that close of attention to series numbers in baseball, it really historically in this league just doesn't get any better. Carolina holds an all-time series lead over the Gators, 54 wins to 53 losses. And, of course, we know that they've competed multiple times in the postseason, most notably the Gamecocks getting the best of them in Omaha, of course, back in 2011. Gators knocked them out to get to Omaha last year. But it's been an incredible series between these two programs. Gators, remember, walked into Columbia last year, although they got their revenge at Condren Park. In the postseason, they were swept out of town. Remember that? And by after that, most of us felt like this was the best team in college baseball. South Carolina Gamecocks vaulted all the way to number two in the nation, or number three in the nation. No, it was number two and number three, depending on which poll you looked at. Remember, Chris Veach counted to three, you know, and it was a thing. Florida got their revenge, of course, but don't think for 2 seconds that's all they want. So I think this is going to be a pretty good series, and I think the least amount of mistakes is probably going to win. Florida's played well defensively throughout the year. They've actually struggled a little bit in the league. They've committed 10 errors already in the league, which is, again, I'm not so sure what's going on down there. But I will say this. If they went out and put 10 runs on the board tonight, I wouldn't be shocked in the least. Like, they're good enough to do that in a hurry. It just hasn't been clicking to this point. So let's hope they don't. Eli, how about one run? Just give up one run, Eli. That would do the body good like y'all did the other night against North Carolina. All right, quickly, elsewhere in the SEC, there were a couple of series that began last night. Auburn almost pulled off a comeback, but they didn't. Kentucky wins again, this time 6-5, the final on the Plains. Georgia went for two and got it. They beat Missouri 15-10 in the opening ball game of that series over at Foley Field in Athens, where all the hoodlums stand up down the right field line, all the frat boys, and talk about your girlfriend and your mom and all that type of stuff. So those two series are going on in addition to the Gamecocks and the Gators. Vandy and A&M tonight at 7 o'clock. That's going to be a hell of a series in College Station at Bluebell Park. Arkansas is on the road in T-Town to take on the Crimson Tide. LSU is at Tennessee. LSU's got to get it going. Whoa, they are struggling. So we'll see if they can find a way to crack through. Tough place to do it, though, at Lindsey Nelson in Knoxville. And then over in the Magnolia State, if Ole Miss wants a rebound, what a weekend to try to get it done. Mississippi State and Ole Miss in Oxford, Mississippi. A hell of a weekend in Southeastern Conference baseball. It's the end of the hour. When we return, John Strickland will be here. We'll wrap up the work week with some Carolina football as we are 8 days from the spring game. Inside of Williams-Brice Stadium. What does Strick think about what he's hearing about the offensive line? He was an offensive lineman. He was a pretty good one. We'll ask him about the ball boy, the nutritionist, the dude who cuts the grass, and much, much more.
Why do we have this grass out here? Shoot, where's the Bermuda? Call that guy on the phone. It's going to be slick.
We'll ask him about the game.
Shoot, it wasn't slick. It wasn't all that slick. It's fine.
But, John, they've got the ball boy listed at 6'1", 210. I'm not buying it. What do you think?
Yeah. He might be 5'11".
There's no reason why we can't grow grass here in South Carolina.
The spring football conversations, no doubt.
I know.
Hey, Ethan's been down to Florida's baseball stadium, said there's palm trees and Adirondack chairs.
Yeah, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago. It's very spring training-ish. It's very spring training. That's how they build the ballpark.
Drinks with umbrellas on them.
That's right. Big grapefruit league feel.
Yeah. Matt, no coach late today. He was with us yesterday at 11:20. They are on the road.
You could always go back and listen to him. Either podcast or on YouTube. It's right there.
Or just pull up the Chief Sports app.
Yes.
Everything's one spot. Right there.
KY Gamecock hot again. Not sure what you're referencing. And Harrison have to find a way to be 8-7 at least in the SEC after this weekend. That would be ideal. There's no doubt. Again, you're on the road. Don't get swept. Coming home for 6. But yeah, 8-7 with 6 at home would be absolutely tremendous. 100% agree. John Strickland up next. We'll be right back.
Chicken cock originated in Kentucky, like so many other bourbons. And so the resurrection of it, you know, Paris, Kentucky, that's the county seat of Bourbon County. So much of this whiskey was being made in that Bourbon County, put on ships and barges and shipped down Ohio, down to Mississippi, and got to New Orleans, where it got distributed all over the world. And people kept saying, well, hey, I want some more of that whiskey from Bourbon County. And so that's how bourbon whiskey got its name. And chicken cock originated actually in Paris, Kentucky, which is today Bourbon County.
Welcome to Palm Casual Patio Furniture. Because we are the factory, Palm Casual has the ability to offer the highest quality outdoor furniture paired with world-class service. Since 1979, our factory showrooms have done our best to make the buying process as easy as possible for our customers. Our understanding of the many factors that go into your decision has helped us create our 30-day trial period that increases the level of comfort our customers feel during the shopping experience. Visit us in Somerville, Mount Pleasant, Myrtle Beach, and Bluffton, and online at palmcasual.com for our products and out-of-state locations. Gamecock owned and operated.
Building your dream home is often just that, a dream, and sometimes a nightmare. But at the Barn Door Company, they commit to quality and build without sacrifice. Customization, open floor plans, limitless flooring options, maintenance-free and easy insulation perks, and affordability are just a few reasons why they've been named one of the best builders in the U.S. Believe in your dreams. Visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Door Company. Gamecock owned. Gamecock operated.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Hey Gamecock fans, this is Roman Kimball with South Carolina Baseball. My friends over at Electric Bikes of Charleston have the largest selection of e-bikes in South Carolina. You can cruise up to high speeds of 28 miles per hour, which is about 70 miles an hour slower than my fastball. Stay in shape and enjoy your life with an electric bike from Electric Bikes of Charleston, where buyers come from all across South Carolina. Visit electricbikescharleston.com. See you at the ballpark, and go Gamecocks.
Charleston Fitness Equipment is keeping South Carolina in shape. Clients have come from all over the Palmetto State to find that one piece of equipment that they enjoy that keeps them looking and feeling good. Whether it's a home rower, treadmill, elliptical, free weights, a home gym, or something else, Charleston Fitness Equipment keeps the mirror smiling back at you. Get in shape like the Gamecocks do. Visit CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Gamecock owned and operated and proud partners of Inside the Gamecocks, the show.
The preferred sign partner of Gamecock Athletics is Signorama Columbia, and they should be yours too. A full-service sign company that handles design, production, install, and service, Signorama Columbia has helped to bring to life the perfect vision for so many all across South Carolina. Owned and operated by proud Gamecock alumni, they can handle all types of signage, including interior and exterior, vehicle graphics, and more. Go to Signorama.com and find the West Columbia location, or call them at 803-407-9284. Bring your brand to life with Signorama Columbia, and go Gamecocks.
Cold Joe here, and when I'm not eating average jambalaya or celebrating endless summer in Destin, I like to eat pimento cheese straight off the bucket. And the only pimento cheese I like to eat is from Nana's Porch. It's award-winning, it'll melt in your mouth, it's good on a cracker, it's good in a bowl, it's good on a piece of bread. Also, don't forget, Nana's Porch has a hell of a food truck. It's award-winning as well. And they're here for all of your catering needs. So get online, nanasports.com. It's good. Coach O, signing off. Endless summer, go Tiger.
For chicken cock, we get a medium to medium plus toast. The char level, we use a number 3 level char. If you char too deep, you start burning away some of those flavor components that you just created. If you just char a barrel and you don't toast it, you're going to create some of those flavors just on a thin layer, just inside the char, but not the actual depth and full extent of flavors that you're going to get if you toast it properly. All those elements, that's exactly what they do. They boil down to great flavor.
If you're in the real estate market in the Lowcountry or even in the Midlands, please contact me, JB, with Coast to Coast Realty SC. Go Gamecocks.
This break is presented by Billy G's Carolina Barbecue, the state newspaper's 2023 winner for Best Catering, Best Barbecue, and Best Food Truck. Visit BillyG'sCarolinaBarbecue.com for all of your catering needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, here it is.